Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Off the ball on News Talk 106 to 108.
I'm prepared to anything I can.
Well, do it then.
Come see again.
Do it then. What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Oh. All right, Graham Hunter, good evening to you. How you doing? Hello, Graham. No. Evening, Graham. No, he's gone.
It's something we said.
If that's more of
the song regularly to you.
It almost never happens. There you go. I'd say leave the music up. Everybody's enjoying that.
Who's that?
Paul Weller.
Is it? Hey, Kev likes him, doesn't he? Is Kev a bit more deeper? He's a bit grungy, isn't he, Kev?
Yeah.
More Stones Roses, Kev, isn't he?
He definitely Stones Roses. Graham, good evening to you.
Hey there.
Evening, Graham.
Good evening. Nice to talk to you.
Discussing the merits of Paul Weller there, but we wanted really...
I heard Stone Roses just as I came in. I love that. Like, any conversation that includes Weller and the Roses is okay by me.
We wanted to start by talking a bit about maybe Sergio Ramos and that 22 red cards and this streak of madness.
I was saying just before we were off air, Graham, from what I've seen, obviously not to the depths that you'll have seen them in the last couple of years, for me, he seems to have matured into a top-class centre-half whenever I see him, and the way he takes forward the team, vital goals, and his overall performances since he's gone to centre-half consistently, I think he's been magnificent. But time and time again, he still lets his team down with this discipline.
Achilles, I agree. I mean, I think you've called it all there. Everything after that is shades of grey. You've got all the black and whites in place. I think that over a career, which is what we have to do when we look at how vast his experience is for Sevilla, for Spain, and for Real Madrid, you're talking initially about net gains, and it's huge net gains. If you want to calibrate a little bit, and you look and you say, why do Sergio Ramos and Cristiano Ronaldo have so few league titles to their name at Real Madrid? Then your argument about that phrase about letting down comes into play. I think that, you know, what he does last weekend in a wonderful game is unforgivable if you're a Real Madrid player, because whether you look to, let's just take the way that it turns, the way that it robs Real Madrid of being able to write their own script again. Because when James, who is unloved, unused, comes on, makes that lovely run, scores that brilliant goal at 2-2, none of the three of us would try and tell our listeners that's the league done. But it's as good as. It's very, very close. And I think at that point, we all assume that Barcelona probably, in this state they're in, aren't coming back. Yet when Sergio Roberto, before Messi's heroic finish and his jersey to the fans, that run of Sergio Roberto, first of all, exposes Casemiro, who for the second game in a row, has practically, it looks as if he's wanting to win a bet about getting sent off by Munich. He's just trampled on players left, right and centre. Should have been sent off. Zidane takes his organising, holding central midfielder who would have blocked that run off to save him from himself. So I don't know if you were meaning this, but maybe Sergio Ramos sets an example. Maybe he sets a culture. Maybe Casemiro, who is exceptional in many ways, has looked and thought, well, this is what we do here. Don't know. But he'd have stopped that run. When the ball comes in from Alba, maybe Ramos is out blocking. We don't know. So can you say let down last Sunday? Yeah, you can. You can. Overall, though, that foul is a little bit atypical of him. Every now and again, he will lose his head completely. He's a brutal competitor, as is Gerard Piqué, his number one foe in club terms. So I don't defend it. You want them to be shrewd, and 22 cards takes him ahead of some really gruesome characters in Spanish football. And I wrote a piece in midweek trying to compare and contrast him and Fernando Hierro, who who has always been something of an idol, something of an example for Ramos, for PK too. And Hierro has gone on to become regarded as an all-time Spanish legend. He won European Cups. He was appointed the Spanish FA's football director. The red cards were forgotten about, as Ramos's red cards will be too, because overall it's a net gain. To explain that, the position of the pitch where he does that, the timing of it, he's not been goaded. There is no strategic gain to be made for that particular tackle at that time. I can't defend it, but when people get after him, I'll go to them, Keith, with the description you said there. He is top class. And beyond his football, his technique, even beyond his incredible record for scoring goals that write history, his level of leadership and competitiveness starts to blur the lines between the flaws and the skills, because he gives you something that we adore in all sport, which is that untouchable Teflon winning attitude.
There was a couple of things after that game last weekend. Somebody said Sid Lowe was saying that for everything that was involved and everything that was on the line, it was one of the greatest Clásicos that he'd been at. And yeah, I figured, you know, you've seen your fair share of Clásicos.
I couldn't agree more, Jerry. Yeah. Listen, I think, again, I don't want to speak for either of you, and you must butt in, but I think that when we love La Liga, it's principally because we see extraordinary creative technique, beautiful technique, intelligence, strategy, players who can beat a man. I think that we don't often enough use that phrase. We really do see enough in Spanish football of guys who can take the ball, dribbling, tricks, whatever, past a man. But we see gorgeous technique and we see open games. And if you look at the last two rounds of matches, we've seen enormous theatre. But that one was jam-packed full of, I think it's the hybrid of whatever it is that makes people love the Premier so much. And that's not me being derogatory, but sometimes I think the adoration for the Premier jumps over its flaws too readily. And it's got the best of Spain, without, sometimes people say that Spanish football can be a little bit slow, a little bit sterile. Pack all of what we saw on Sunday together, and it's the perfect hybrid. I agree with whatever Sid said. In my view, that's one of the elite games, and it didn't matter which side won. You reverse it all together, and that's James or Cristiano scoring for 3-2 in the last in added time, and I'll feel the same. That's pound for pound, that's right up there with any top 4 or 5 matches I've ever seen.
Graham, can I bring you on to Messi and what we've seen this year of him? Certainly Champions League, PSG first leg, and certainly it binds in with the whole team. And he's had a lot of criticism in the Irish press about his performances this year. This is regardless of him scoring 49 goals, amazingly. But where do you see him now, where in terms of his overall performance this season? I know he's had a lot of off-field problems, court cases, protracted contract talks, etc. Where do you see him right now?
I see him genuinely as somebody I'm petrified that we might not have too much longer of. He turns 30 in the summer. He's life-enhancing. It's football like none of us have ever seen in our lifetimes. You can't win any argument about greatest ever, but I think if, for my taste, if you mix his level of skill with the unbelievable things that he produces, the goals, the trophies, and the unbelievable competitive will to win, plus his lack of misbehaviour, sent off once, almost always fit. Really, you know, ephemeral moments when he's been absent for an injury. Always there. I think that's as good as we've ever seen on a football pitch, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't want to be really rude, but when you say criticism in the Irish media, I'd like to know who from and what about.
Well, listen,
have I said enough?
No, yeah, well, exactly, and it's been a little bit ridiculous in recent weeks.
Whoever was criticising was wearing a blindfold before they wrote or spoke, then I wouldn't be surprised. He scored a 10th. That was his 499th and 500th goal that we were celebrating. He scored a 10th of them this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Now, the one thing maybe that, because you've done the right thing, never poke a sleeping tiger. I'm trying not to roar and claw.
Messi's a player in decline, says Eamon Dunphy, as far back as last October.
There we are. Eamon. Now, you used to put me on morning shows, and we used to have this row over his Beckham fantasy. Look, rather than getting embroiled with Emil, who sometimes speak for effect rather than accuracy, the thing to know is this. Leo Messi has, in the rare, I've interviewed him maybe 15, 16 times, but others have intermittently got him to speak more, particularly the Argentinian media, have got him to speak more widely about what he thinks about football, because that's not his favourite thing to do, to speak about the game. When he does, you will never, ever hear him saying anything other than his victories are a product of the teamwork, and that he might be the tip of the iceberg, but he fully understands that he needs a team to be working with him for him, that the defence needs to function. And if there have been days when Leo Messi hasn't won a game on his own with 7 or 8 of the other 10 playing poorly, then I don't think that in any way besmirches him. We have seen a system in decline this season. We have seen players who look bewildered by their previous standards, not just by the opposition. If you talk about Paris, Keith, if you talk about some of the moments in Turin, if you talk about the listlessness of the defeats in La Coruña and Malaga, what we saw wasn't Messi. That's not the thing to focus on. And when somebody talks about that, that's them looking for, in my opinion, my humble opinion, coverage, looking for clicks, looking for controversy. What anybody who understands football is clear to say is that for some parts of this season, he's been functioning in a team which hasn't been as robust, hasn't been as quick, hasn't been able to keep the ball as well, hasn't pressed the ball as well. And these are the elements that came together in the Bernabeu on Sunday. That's crucial to say. He's the headline act. Possibly Ter Stegen comes next because, like Kehler, he was brilliant. But the unsung things were Iniesta and Busquets and Rakitic functioned like the old days, keeping the ball, pressing, positional play, overloads of 4v3s in key areas. These just click back into place like tumbles in a safe.
Graham, do you think
that's why we saw the best Messi?
Do you think at times then he's looked a little bit disillusioned, and do you think he feels possibly let down by those other 7-8 players that aren't giving him the ammunition to go and do it in the key areas of the pitch? Because the front three, Stegen, Busquets with the right midfield around them, I totally agree, the nucleus is there, but the recruitment for me over the last couple of years has been quite poor.
Well, okay, the first thing I want to say is that I am not his PR spokesman. Leo Messi, like any great musicians, when you put them in an orchestra, they need a conductor. Everybody thinks that they can play on their own and read the notes and keep perfect time. Well, that's not the case. And I think that this idea of Luis Enrique, and other coaches have struggled with it, that Messi can play where he wants and do what he wants to do, leaves the team unbalanced. So he is not without flaw. He now, in the treble season, Keith, if you look at it, principally after the January, he played on the right wing. He came in, he scored goals, but he was in his position on the right wing. Now he's allowed, he wants to, and he's allowed to play wherever he wants in the pitch. And predominantly that works. Sometimes it unbalances the team. So he's not without blame for some of those performances, I would have to say. The team just hasn't been able to come up with the hard work or the system or the components to compensate for the fact that he wants to play where he wants to play. So, and does he get testy about it, which is your question? Yes, he does. And sometimes the walking around the pitch thing isn't heavenly and perfect, when sometimes it is. Pep Guardiola said, when you see him walking, he is taking an X-ray. And when we see him, what he does with the information he's gathered up, we know it's right. I spent yesterday with Rafa van der Vaart talking about this very thing. And he said, look, and this is only one professional's point of view. If that's how he wants to walk and think and look for space, everybody else plays for him. In my team, in that team, if I'm coach, if I'm his teammate, you just do it because that's what he wants. But the idea is, everybody else around him, including the coach, needs to work out what they can do to protect those choices of Messi. And they haven't been as good at it. And I guess you want me to quit, but I think we need to be careful. Barcelona went and bought a load of 23, 24-year-olds. And I know that people have been jumping all over poor old Gomez. Gomez went from a high-performing Benfica team where he was still emerging, went to Valencia, spent a season and a bit shoveling brown stuff out of a sinking ship as a young guy, but showing his ability. Went and played all summer. Whenever you hear professionals talking about winning a summer tournament, played all summer, won a tournament, overwhelming physical and mental experience, then goes to the hardest learning experience, hardest learning environment anywhere in football, and doesn't quite look right when he's overplayed. I think Umtiti is the right signing. I think Gomez will become the right signing. And Alcacer up front, how do you fit into a team where you're going to play once every 10 games? These are questions, and maybe you'll prove to be right. All I'm saying is let the litmus test comes somewhere around next February, March for the recruitment. I think, although they're short of a midfielder, they're short of a Verratti. You keep this team fit, you put Verratti in it, and everybody else look out again, is my view.
There was a bit where he was walking in the build-up to the goal as well, just when Sergio Roberto starts to make that run. There's a brilliant angle from the sides where you're just looking at him going, he's not moving, he's not moving, he's just taken off. Oh, look where he's arrived.
It's all of us about to learn. Listen, Jerry, you and I have been talking about this. You played in the professional game at a high level. Oh, I'm not saying that this was obvious. Initially, I just asked all kinds of questions. I remember asking Pep Guardiola after the Spanish Cup final in the press room of 2011 when Cristiano Ronaldo scores that brilliant header. Real Madrid win the cup. It's part of the four Clásicos in 18 days in the Clásico. In that cup final. Messi's played very, very, very deeper than the idea of the false nine. And I remember saying to him, don't you feel that he's just chosen to play so deep that he's been pushed? And Guardiola said, it suits us that he's happy. He plays where he wants to play because that will bring us results. And I think it's exactly 7 days later that they go to the Bernabeu. And when he picks up, for example, when he picks up the ball off Busquets, about 10 feet inside his own half, he starts that run where he beats four and slides the ball past Casillas with his right, his weaker foot. So I don't mind asking questions where I prove to be wrong, but I'm not saying this walking thing seemed natural to me to begin with. You watch, you learn, you listen to the pros, and you try to represent what it is that you haven't seen originally. But I must admit, originally, I didn't get it. And now, I think I do.
Do you think he's going to stay?
Oof. On balance, yeah. The jumping into the fans at the 6-1 Paris Saint-Germain, the holding the shirt up to the Bernabeu, that isn't... The Catalan papers have reported as, I love the club and I love the board. That's a load of horse. He'll stay if the deal is right, if he feels that... I mean, Keith made the point, I haven't asked Messi and he wouldn't tell me if he feels the recruitment's right. But those will be the components. He'll need to be the best paid player in the world. He'll need to understand that the team is going to be more competitive next season, particularly in midfield and at right back. And after that, on balance, yes, I think he will. But we've learned. They haven't handled this well. The timing hasn't been good. There are things about the current board that he hasn't enjoyed. And what are we in now? Nearly May?
Yeah.
January the 1st, he can sign for somebody else for free.
Staggering to think that, isn't it?
That's my point. Yes, it is. That in itself says the board haven't managed that well from Barcelona's point of view.
Like, that's, you know, if you're Man City, you have 100 million set aside and you go, we'll give you that next summer.
There you go.
And why wouldn't you do that if you're Messi?
Because I think you have to, don't you have to think about it at least?
Yeah.
I think you stop, you look at the, you say that the money would be lovely, that's fine, and then you look at the project and say, is the money enough to stimulate my curiosity about life somewhere else? Not, I need another challenge. I don't think he feels like that. I think if he thinks that the club haven't particularly respected him, given him his place in how they've staged these negotiations, and come January you can write off all the problems that you've had. What I've learned over my career is that there's no footballer who thinks he's wealthy enough. They may do great things with their cash, but there must be a concern where they look at Chelsea, Manchester City. I can't see him in the German league at Bayern Munich. I can't see him at Paris Saint-Germain in the French league. He's not that beast. He needs to feel that he's playing against the best. It needs to stimulate him week in, week out. Those aren't his places, nor is Italy, in my humble opinion. England, maybe. But which clubs? In my opinion, at best, two. And therefore, on balance, back to your question, Gerard, on balance, yeah, I think he'll stay. From my point of view, living in this city, I'd be, I'd be, I'd be quite keen for that.
Yeah, I'm sure. It'd be heartbroken. It's like best footballer of all time. Suddenly goes, what?
Off the sunny.
I've said enough.
Manchester.
I've said, it's been a privilege. Listen, I haven't used that phrase for a couple of months. What a bloody privilege I've had.
Who'd be the other one? So City's the obvious one. Who else?
Chelsea, I think that you can look at the idea of life in London. I think it's just inept not to talk about London being a magnet for footballers now. The number of footballers I talk to.
I wonder if Theresa May has screwed it up for everybody, though. I wonder if actually that's going to be the thing.
I don't think she can take his place. If they sign her instead of him, that's your big story.
That's your career-breaking story.
Graham, great stuff.
Top man.
Thanks a million.
Thanks, Graham.
Cheers, lads. Bye.
Graham Hunter with us every Thursday night here. I definitely think this Barcelona team are nowhere near as good as the Barcelona team under Guardiola that beat Real Madrid 5-0. Mm. We were talking about that game in the ad break there, and I've been reading the match report and I've been thinking a bit about that game recently when they had Xavi at his peak and they had a version of Messi at his peak as well, and they had Iniesta coming to his peak. That was one of the greatest teams ever to play football, and we all compare what Barcelona do now with that team, rightly, because
that's the bar they set.
And Messi's still involved and Iniesta's still there, so it feels to me like Barcelona are the same as a lot of other teams at the moment, but they have Leo Messi. And until they get a bunch of other players who are performing close to what...
Yeah. I agree. In terms of the recruitment, I was saying with Graham, I agree in terms of some of them. And like Gomez, the stick he's had has been a bit unwarranted. Umtiti, I think, will get there. He's shown signs of it. But I think it's the lack of recruitment in certain areas that, like, the midfield is... You know, Busquets, of course, can still play to an unbelievable level as that whole mid, but he needs real legs around him. Like, I'm talking real legs. That team that we were talking about there, that Barcelona team, they were the ones that instigated that press when you lose the ball back because Messi was of that age, because they had the personnel around to go and do it. They can't do that now.
Yeah.
They have to they drop off, they don't win it within a second or two, or unless it's really obvious, because they haven't got the legs anymore. So that's the front three. That's not even talking about midfield.
Yeah.
Like, against PSG in that first game, like, it was shocking stuff. Yeah. Really, really. He played Busquets and Iniesta in a two. Rakitic left out of the team for that game, I think he was. Weird. Yeah. Weird decision to play against a team. PSG, like, they've got pure legs in their team, pure energy.
Yeah, maybe it is the manager then. Maybe, the manager can... actually decide some of his younger players maybe even sticking Turan in there would have changed things. I don't know, but like, it definitely feels as if they've come off that peak and they're never going to reach that again. And so when we start talking about decline, it's like, yeah, okay, so they're not the greatest team of all time today. They were 6-7 years ago.
But even if they got the recruitment line, they've still got some head start, haven't they, with that front three. Ter Stegen's a quality keeper. You know, they've got one of the best holding midfield players in the league in terms of start and play going. Defensively, okay, at times he can be played around in terms of Busquets.
Yeah.
I love Rakitic. I think he's quality.
Yeah.
So they've got they've got a hell of a head start.
And there's also the three up front.
Exactly.
So. But that point about Messi being free in 6 months' time, you know? Like,
it is staggering to think that, though, isn't it? He could sign for another tide in 6-7 months' time.
If you're Barcelona, all you can do is offer him $1 million a week and say, that's what we'll give you. Because
I still think he'll stay, though. I'm with Graham on that. Can you see him in a different shirt?
Yeah, I can see.
Can you?
I can see. Because, like, if you're Manchester City, you now have a chance to just give him all that money. And you do a deal where you give him 50 million up front, 50 million at the end of his contract, and $1 million a week. And it's like, all right, I'm going to do that for a couple of years.
It's not China, Jay.
Well, they literally make their own money.
They
dig money out of the ground. And
it is the only team I can see him at in England. Man City, and maybe...
I can't see the Chelsea thing happening either, but I see the allure of London.
Yeah. But do you think he's that type?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. Like, he lives in a kind of small village outside of Barcelona.
Yeah. Don't think he's as bothered by all that, you know, where it is a huge factor for a lot of foreigners. Oh, yeah. London, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't fancy Middlesbrough and Sunderland, no? Okay.
Not even Birmingham.
Come and play for Millwall.
All right, 53106, the text number if you want to get in touch. Can you keep Keith Andrews as a regular on the show, says Usheen, listening outside Roadstone in Roadstone Shamrock Rovers. Of course, maybe that training tonight, I don't know.
Who are they playing this weekend? I haven't even checked. Need a result. Come on, Bradzer.
We'll be back after these.
News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
Brian in Dublin says, Messi's reaction after Madrid equalised on Sunday told me he's fed up with the way they leak goals. They have a world-class attack and a pub team defence. Pique is dreadful. How is he still first choice? Pique's not dreadful, is he?
No, he's not dreadful, but he needs the right type around him. Like, he's a very... very modern day John Stones type, like, where there's a lot of emphasis goes into, like, we've just seen Bravo go off there on a stretch. I mean, hopefully he's okay, but the first thing we're talking about Bravo is how good his feet are.
Well, yeah,
surely his hands should come into the equation. PK, yeah, centre half, maybe, yeah, your 1v1 defending, how you deal with crosses, where your positional sense is, and then after that on the ball is a bonus.
There was like a long raking sliding tackle that he had early on in the first half where somebody was just about to skin him. If he got that wrong, it was red card.
Money, yeah.
Yeah. And a penalty, and you're like, and you can see his face going,
yeah. He has been very good though. And he like Ramos, I think, is a better defender, but he just has those
22 red cards.
He just has those 22 moments of madness.
10 minutes left in the game tonight for Manchester City to try and find a winner. It's scoreless. Here's Peter Smith at the Etihad.
City 0, United 0, and there's only one team genuinely trying to win this contest. City have had nearly all of the ball since the break. Their goalkeeper Bravo, who's been a virtual spectator, but breaking down the red barrier is proving elusive. De Gea has saved 10 efforts from Sterling and Aguero. De Bruyne has hit the side netting from distance. Otamendi headed over from a Sane corner. But City need something special in order to end this stalemate. It's City 0, United 0.
It's these games where City are faced with a challenge that you thought that they would have had the brains to think their way through, given the talent that they have and given Guardiola as their manager. But these are the games where they've just kind of just been a little bit short this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think from bits we've seen of, as we've been chatting, we've been looking, we've seen some of the chances that they've been far from clinical. Sterling's been wasteful on a couple of opportunities, certainly. But like, you compare the two teams, you would have known exactly what Jose was going to do going into this game. He was going to sit deep. He was going to turn it into that ugly. He was trying to stifle the game, slow it down at every opportunity. So a coach of the capability of Guardiola, what can he come up with to stop that, to try and overcome that? You know they're going to be deep. So what do? You draw the players out to try and penetrate in behind? Whereas it's classic Jose. Like, he's well on course to grinding this out or maybe even nicking it in the last 10 minutes.
And is this exactly what Guardiola hates the most, where he can't overcome a challenge like this?
Probably. That and doing interviews, I would say. He's not a big fan of them, is he?
No.
But the personnel available, like, look at that front four of Man City. Aguero hasn't hit anywhere near the heights that he has in recent seasons. Sané, Sterling, we were talking about earlier, but if you get both of them firing together, Jesus Christ. What a couple of wingers they are. And De Bruyne behind him. Come on.
I think he wants rid of Aguero though, right? Like, it certainly sounded that way.
Sound great.
He was giving him tough love when really Aguero seems like he's the type of person who needs the arm around the shoulder.
Jesus came in, didn't he? Took his place, played him. He was flying. Then he got injured. Then Aguero comes back into the equation.
Yeah.
I just don't think he works hard enough. So go back to that Barcelona team that you were talking about. That high press and high energy. Aguero doesn't do it. And he's of the age where he should be able to do it.
Yeah.
He knows Jesus will do it.
And he's not Messi, so he can't get away with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
On Sterling, a text. Great run, followed by a weak shot from Sterling, is as much a signature move for Sterling as Robin cuts in from the right and puts it in the top corner as a signature move for Arjen Robin. It's harsh, but it's not without a kernel of truth. He is still 22. It's the type of thing that you assume that he gets a little bit better at.
Yeah, I think he's a fantastic player. I really do. I got a little bit annoyed at him during the Euros when he should have done a bit more.
Open your legs.
Yeah, do something, yeah. But he's...
I thought that maybe you'd had a bet on him to be first goal scorer that
Everybody
night.
Said that to me. I don't gamble. I'm not Joey Barton. I think he's... Like, think about Giggs, for instance, like the classic out-and-out winger. Like, the consistency didn't come to Giggs until mid-20s probably, in that decision-making. Went to cross, went to dribble, went to release the ball. I think Sterling's way beyond that already.
Red card for United. It looks like it's Ander Herrera. Is it? He's going off here, and Fellaini's now having a go at Sergio Aguero. Fellaini's been sent off and he's gone crazy. And Eric Bailly is making the peace, but Fellaini's protesting his innocence here.
He's going to get in a bit of bother.
Carrick is over now, and
Fosu-Mensah, is it?
Yeah. Fosu-Mensah's coming on.
I haven't seen a replay yet, have we?
Jesse Lingard is kind of like the guy who's the one calming things down. Right, so there's going to be 7-8 minutes left for Manchester United to hold out here. Sergio Aguero's getting tackled and nothing happens. And is that what the
Sweet
red card
Jesus.
Is for?
No.
Oh, it's for a headbutt.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
We thought it might have been a second yellow, didn't we, for maybe... Oh, my God. Look how far the referee is away from me. Look how far the ref is. He's 5 yards, 7 yards away. Oh, it wasn't me.
The face of Fellaini when he looks up and sees the referee. Ander Herrera is like gone straight to the referee to kind of block his view to see if he can somehow act as camouflage.
He's a player that I sometimes have to just relax myself in terms of the criticism I throw his way, but he is as far removed from being a Man United player as me or you. I swear to God, he really is.
You're probably a bit closer than I am, but I...
Only a little bit now. That's just ridiculous. Like, time and time again, right? You know when they chuck him on to shore things up, they chuck him on to strength. Anderlecht, first leg, few minutes to go, 86 minute, bang, runner off him. First time Michael Carrick leaves the central midfield area. Carrick sits with Pogba. What happens? Runs off Fellaini, bang, goal. Anderlecht 1-1. Gives penalties away.
There was a penalty away in a couple of minutes against somebody as well, wasn't there, earlier in the season?
All
a big
the
game.
Time. Keep him away from the pitch for a start if you're Man United. But that's just absolutely nonsense. And now they're down to 10 men with a good 10 minutes to play all in, I'd say.
It looked like maybe Aguero had bought a free kick. And we can't hear it, obviously. Perhaps the free was given. And so he was a bit peeved at that. Aguero gets up because he's obviously heard something that Fellaini has said and comes to kind of look at him. And then he has to bend down quite significantly. Because
there's a bit of a height difference, isn't it?
About a foot taller than him. While I'm down there. Thanks very much.
Yeah. And it wasn't one of those where, you know, when your heads come together and then one of them makes the most of it. Look, I think Aguero will live, but it was clear intent of the head going towards his forehead.
Yeah.
But silly, wasn't it?
Aguero will have a little bit of a headache, but also be kind of happy that he drew it because Chopper here has texted in, capturing the mood nicely. How satisfying is it to see an actual headbutt rather than the usual fake massaging of foreheads? At least Fellaini stuck the nut in.
That description's way better than ours.
Yeah, well done. Right, we should talk about some of the stuff that happened today while the last 4 or 5 minutes of this game play out. Steven Gerrard's done an interview to talk about because he's finally got a job as the manager of the under-18 team.
He's finally got a job. He's been struggling, has he?
Obviously, they've made this job for him.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a club, do you want Steven Gerrard, you know, hanging around like a bad smell at this stage?
Well, yeah, I think what you've got now is... Do you mean Jurgen Klopp?
If you're the manager of a team like Liverpool, where you know you're the boss and everything has to go through you, and actually you're the real superstar here, and there's Steven Gerrard kind of getting interviews and taking over the under-18 team.
I think that shows the confidence that Klopp has in himself and how much he cares about the club. You know, this isn't Chelsea. This isn't like managers come and go. You know. 3 months into next season, if Conte loses 6 of his first 10 games, he could be gone. Yeah, that's Chelsea. Whereas Liverpool, the way they run it, Klopp, the way he is, his time at Dortmund, he's looking after the welfare of the club, and he's also been a little bit clever. He might integrate him in towards the staff. But
yeah,
I would imagine he's if he wasn't comfortable with it, I don't think it would happen.
Okay.
No. And I also think from Steven Gerrard's point of view, he's going about it in the exact right way. Like he was headhunted for the MK Dons job, League One, and at the time I said it would be a ridiculous decision on his part because he knows nothing about League One football. So it would have been crazy. He doesn't know how a League One player's mentality works. He doesn't know how a player that plays in the Premier League fighting relegation, how they get up day to day, what they go through, because he's been at the absolute pinnacle of the game for so long. So the way he's doing it now, I think, is spot on.
Through the youth system at a Premier League club so that when a Premier League job, i.e. the Liverpool job, eventually comes available.
Yeah. And you try things as a coach. You learn things. You make mistakes. And he'd be making mistakes with a bunch of 16, 17 and 18-year-olds where, does it matter? Really? No, it doesn't.
No. Gabriel Jesus has been booked. Has he got a red card as well? No, it's just his first booking. So the sequence of events was Fellaini got booked for a foul And then within 10 seconds after being shown the yellow, he chases after Aguero, pulls his jersey. Aguero gets up and protests. And then Fellaini walks up to him. Thanks very much. How's your outfit? And he's gone. And then Mourinho like walks over to him and says, what happened? You know, there's no kind of, you've betrayed me, you're my Judas.
He does love Fellaini, doesn't he?
Absolutely adores him.
Like you were at the, he rang him up. Didn't Fellaini say this? He rang him up on his holidays last year when he took over to assure him of his future, because there was a lot of talk. He's not going to be for Jose, but
imagine if Luke Shaw did that.
I know.
Or Marcus Rashford.
Yeah. Or anybody like, under the age of 25 at that club, including the cleaning lady.
He's not a big fan. So is Steven Gerrard going to be a good manager, do you think?
I think he's got the right type of temperament. Like the headline here of what we've got here is Steven Gerrard interview. His teams will be physical. Like I played against him a few times in the U team. His nickname was Stevie Tackle. He was like ferocious. He was probably in the top three of my favourite players in that position. Certainly him, Scholes. Like Scholes I love, but him in terms of what he did with his career and how he maximised, I'm a huge fan of his. And the way he is going about this, like he shouldn't be in any rush to manage. Like 5 years, go and ply your trade.
Yeah.
18s, 23s, go and do your bits and bobs, wherever you need to, your coach and bits and bobs. Pick the brains of all the people around you, because he's really only going to get one pop at this if he goes in at that deep end, which it would be going in as the Liverpool manager eventually.
When you're talking about players or managers not knowing their level, the Dave Jones who got sacked by Hartlepool, was that the Dave Jones who gave you your same Dave Jones gave you your debut?
He
signed you?
No, he made me captain.
Right. Oh yeah.
And then
he
signed about 45 midfielders and I played about 10 games the next year.
So he should know that level a bit. There's a goal for City. A goal for City.
There we go. The Fellaini factor, everybody.
There you go. 6 minutes of stoppage time, a minute into it, and it's man. It's offside,
is it?
The flag comes up about 20 minutes late.
That was very
late. The latest flag I've ever seen. They're actually celebrating. They're already over by the corner flag. It's Gabriel Jesus. That's correct.
Yeah, it's a right decision. How did that take so long to come up with?
Unless he's behind the ball, is he? Is there a possibility?
Look.
No. Right. Okay. Pep saw it quickly.
He saw a shot, didn't he?
Yeah. All right. So it's scoreless between Manchester City and Manchester United with 4 minutes of stoppage time.
He's been bright, hasn't he?
Left to go in this one. What did you think of that? Like getting sacked on TV as Dave Jones was by. Did you see any of this?
By Jeff.
Yeah.
Sterling even.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I read it in the aftermath that basically. And Jeff's. Honorary chairman, is that right?
Yeah. Some honorary title, which, you know, not actually a real title.
Very, very vocal in terms of, you know, he's obviously a passionate Hartlepool fan.
Yeah.
Bizarre, really. Bizarre. But they've got two games left. They've appointed Matthew Bates, who's player there, came through at Middlesbrough. They've got a lower league journeyman. Huge gamble. Like, there's every chance they're going out of the league.
Have a listen to this because we actually have the audio. Okay.
Let me just say, I'm wearing the Hartlepool United tie today. We've lost at home. We're in the relegation places. This is not personal, Dave. But Dave Jones, for God's sake, for the good of the club, walk now. Go now. You've got 13 points from 51. This is not your level of football. Pam Duxbury, the chairman, Gary Coxall, if he won't walk, sack him. If it means me retiring and resigning as president, I do so happily. Do it now. Do it today.
Yeah. It is Dave Jones' level of football, though, isn't it? Is he actually...
No, not really.
Right, so he's more, a bit higher.
Yeah, more championship. And he's been over for a few years since, I think he left Sheffield Wednesday, went to Cardiff, Wolves, Stockport. They were all championship level clubs. Even Southampton, I think at the time, might have even been Premier League.
Was he good?
No.
Right. That's fair enough.
In a word, no.
There you go.
Very hard to do a programme and watch that in the background.
Well, we've been doing a bit of both.
What's the story?
You can probably tell.
He just nodded him.
He's a sap.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, in the middle, even if he thinks the referee isn't watching, he must know there's cameras.
It's going to be retrospective action. Yeah. Worst case.
He'd know.
Best case, even.
I'm not going to get away with this. Yeah.
I think he thinks it's like, there's only 10 minutes left and they're not very good anyway. It's going to finish nil all.
It was a nothing foul as well. Nothing.
He'd just been booked before that, I think. So he thought that maybe, I'm trying to put myself into the mindscape of...
Yeah. A draw here is good. I'm a United fan.
I think it's a good result for United.
Good result, yeah.
And I think
no trouble at all.
Exactly what he played for.
Did you hear the, speaking of music, I better get it around to music at some point. Did you see, did you hear the U2 track that Steve Lillywhite has done? It's Red Hill, it's from the Joshua Tree. But it, they've he's redone the vocal. Bono's redone the vocal 30 right. years later. It's incredible. He's done most of the vocal, but I think it sounds great. So I can't be talking about Steve Lillywhite. Do you know anything about Steve Lillywhite, the producer?
Did he produce the original one?
Yeah. He's produced everything. He produced XTC, Susan the Banshees, Peter Gabriel, Kirsty MacColl, Marshall Crenshaw, Morrissey, Sykes, like for his Simple Minds, U2. That's just the beginning. Incredible.
Did he do a bit of grunge as well?
I don't know if he's done any grunge. He's still around, yeah. He was head of Universal for a while, head of another record company for a while too. He's just, you know, I think if you want a dream job, it's to be a studio engineer and then you work your way up. So we're playing various things that he has done, and the War on Drugs track is absolutely class. 11 minutes long.
Yeah, you're talking about
it. I know,
it's
the best thing I've heard all year.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Right.
I have that, and I've Gorillaz and Fiona Regan and loads more.
All right, good stuff, Tom. Thanks very much for that. I think he did. Did he do Nevermind?
No.
No?
Steve Albini.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what I was thinking.
And then your man from that band with your one in it.
Butch Vig.
That's your man.
There you go. Yeah. Man, JP. That wasn't me. Scoreless with a minute left. We'll take a break. We'll give it full time next.
News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
All right, it has finished nil all. And I guess that's the ultimate Jose Mourinho mugging Pep Guardiola story.
Same old story, isn't it? He produced the, obviously, I haven't seen all of it, but very much drop deep, negate City, stifle them. Look at that. 65 points City, 64 points United. It's going to be tight, isn't it? But Jose will be absolutely delighted with that.
Liverpool not very happy with that result tonight.
No, and
I think they would have preferred Man City to win and try and knock Manchester United out and make Man United concentrate on.
Yeah, very much so, because I think, I don't know, I thought United would be out of it. They were just jumping along, but they've just kept going, haven't they? They kept going. They can't get any more injuries, though. That's the only thing I would say. And he is trying to win the Europa League. They've got a tough tie against Celta Vigo. Not as tough as Leon would have been. But still, it'll be tough. They just need to... Like, if anything else happens defensively, who's going
to
play?
Yeah. Well, the two lads are supposed to be back from their not that bad injuries. Where
Smalling and Jones.
A leg brace on.
Yeah, come on.
Look, I don't know what's going to... I had written Manchester United off as potential top four 3-4 weeks ago. Mm. And you just kept thinking, well, all Liverpool have to do is win some games. But they can't do it.
Well, they can't. Like, you thought Stoke, didn't you? They produced that.
Yeah.
You know, they ground out a couple of decent away ones, and then Palace at home. Palace have been flying, to be fair to them. But come on.
Arsenal have Spurs and Liverpool are at Watford. So surely you think...
Watford are on the beach.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. They are on... Seriously, they're in Magaluf already. So yeah. Come on. They've got to produce something, and Spurs have a decent one. Arsenal, to be fair... Decent result last night. Although performance was...
They're back.
Yeah, back.
we are also on the beach. We're done. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much, Keith.
Good stuff. Tomorrow night we've got the crappy quiz. We've got off the ball bag. We might have some racing, and we're definitely going to have some other stuff too. Stay tuned. Tom Dunn's up next. Good night.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.